Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. A tough one last night for the Predators in Game 5. We'll get to more of that here coming up in just a few minutes. But now, we've got your opportunity to be in the building for Game 6 tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena. Puck drop at 8:30, pregame at 7:30 here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
And Preds Extra at 6 with Preds. Chase McCabe.
Preds Extra at 6 o'clock with Chase McCabe tomorrow, starting at 6 o'clock as well.
So we'll essentially have 2.5 hours of pregame.
That's good.
Plus, like Stillman and company are going to be previewing the game most of the day tomorrow. So,
I mean,
tomorrow all day is...
Really, like depending on how game 6 goes, we could have several hours of postgame as well, just leading right into our show.
This is true.
We'll see how that goes.
This is true. I mean, if it goes to quintuple overtime,
yeah,
then y'all will just be taking the handoff from Darren McFarland from the postgame show at 6 a.m.
Sounds like fun. We'll see if we can make that happen. So we've got your opportunity to be in the building for Game 6 tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena. Ryan Porth has a trivia question. If you know the answer to the trivia question, text in. Make sure you text in on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Ryan Porth, what is today's ticket giveaway trivia question?
So the Preds are 2-10 all time on home ice when trying to stave off elimination.
Okay.
Who are the two teams that the Preds beat to stave off elimination in separate postseason series in the past?
I like that. If you know the answer to that question, the two teams that the Predators have staved off in elimination games at home. Text in 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. The first person to correctly guess the answer will win a pair of tickets to Game 6 for the Predators and the Hurricanes tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena. And Joe, really a gut punch for the Predators last night in Game 5. They had the game, I'm not going to say completely under control, but they were in a good spot in that game. You're up 2-1 in the third period. You're playing pretty well defensively. I'm not going to sit here and act like the Predators had all these great offensive looks and they could have scored 5 or 6 goals in that game. But they were playing the style of game that I feel like you need to play if you're the Predators against Carolina to be successful. And not only were they playing that way, I think they were frustrating Carolina by playing that way, and it was starting to show. And then all of a sudden, Marty Natchez ties the game up at 2. Jordan Staal ends up getting the game winner in overtime on a bit of a fluky bounce there. Juuse Saros misplays the puck a little bit, and it goes off of Jordan Staal into the back of the net. And all of a sudden, you go from being about 8 minutes away from being up 3-2 in the series with a chance to come back home and close it out to now down with your back against the wall in a win-or-go-home scenario tomorrow at Game 6 at Bridgestone Arena. Last night was a pretty tough ending for the Nashville Predators.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think the last two games at PNC Arena, the Preds have reason to regret them. Obviously, Game 2, which seems like so long ago now, was the awful power play night, which, by the way, the power play has been – it's looked like a power play since then, to the Predators' credit. But I think last night, if the Preds don't end up winning this series, I think last night's game will be probably the one that gets talked about the most and gets, you know, regretted, gets brought up, you know, because I think that that was, to me, that was by far of all the games these teams have played, they've played 13 this year. Okay, they've played 12. Forget the 5-0, you know, take that one out. So forget that game. But of the 12 where you had full lineups, I mean, to me, it was by far the best overall controlling of the play by the Preds. I have not seen the Canes frustrated like that and just sort of, you know, just muted like that, I think, all year. And actually, you know, on the CNBC broadcast, you know, John Forslund and McGuire, talking about like I haven't seen this all year,
yeah,
from the Hurricanes, and Forslund's seen a lot of the Hurricanes this year. You know, it's like this is just this is so out of character, and I think the Preds get a lot of credit for that. doesn't mean that they weren't going to keep coming and pressing, and maybe they would have gotten the tying goal 2 minutes later, you know, or with an extra attacker in the last minute. We don't know. But it was getting to the point where the building was kind of hushed and frustrated, and the team looked frustrated. And you know, look, the Preds had quite a few opportunities to make that a 3-1 game. And if you want to win a game like that, that's part of it too. It's not just the mistakes you make on their goals. It's also big money players, big moments. Got to bury it.
Well, and they had their chances to do that. I mean, Ryan Johansson gets a point-blank opportunity where he just misses the net right in front of the game, or right in front of the goalie. And also, I think back to a couple of chances. I thought, you know, on the power play, Forsberg did a great job of kind of coming down the wing like we've seen him do, go into the circle and sell the shot. How many times have we seen him this year do that and slide the puck across the box over to Elli Tolvanen, and Tolvanen's there to put it home? Callie Yarncroak, the receiving end of the pass last night, I thought the one-timer was there for Yarncroak. I thought the net was there too. If he hits it right, maybe you've got a lead at that point if you're the Predators that you feel good about. Maybe that's the difference in the game. And I also thought, I mean, when the game was tied 2-2, Roman Josi gets the puck in a pretty prime scoring area in the slot, and he's got a chance to shoot, and he doesn't. He tries to draw attention his way and then slide it back over to Forsberg and ends up not connecting on that pass. I thought there were chances last night, and there were examples last night of the Predators having opportunities offensively and looking for the perfect play or the perfect shot rather than just letting the puck rip and letting the chips fall where they may after that. Now, I understand why you want to do that, and you want to have, you know, you want to execute your shots to a level where it's tough for Nedeljkovic to stop. But sometimes just put the thing towards the net and see what happens. And I didn't think the Predators did that enough last night.
Yeah, they missed a few opportunities to do that for sure. You know, Duchesne, and I don't remember the exact, it was the third period, but one of those, and we've seen this a few times from Duchesne in the series. We've seen some really good things, of course, but, you know, where he's trying to move his feet and get into a better position and the puck gets just taken away from him, you know, versus he had an opportunity to lay it up there, try to create a rebound. He's got two guys with him who are very capable of getting in there and putting one home. So, you know, it's always like you don't want to just shoot everything, and it's not always that simple. There are times when it's like one more pass or a little bit more execution, and now you actually have a high percentage shot, much higher percentage. But in a series like this, they close space so fast, just feels like throw it up there. Sometimes you'll get a lucky break, like the first goal, which is Josi off Trennan's stick and somebody's glove and somebody's shoulder, and it comes in at like 30 miles an hour as a knuckleball, and you know, that stuff can happen. Or like the Canes in Game 3, you know, send one off Yossi's butt and see what happens.
Ryan Porth, do we have a winner for today's trivia question for Game 6 tickets tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena?
Yes, and I am reaching out to this person now. It is Emily is the winner.
Oh, well, how about that? Rex, Emily's been trying for a while now to get tickets to this, and she finally gets it done. So Emily campaigning hard on the text line. She finds a way to get it done. We appreciate that. And by the way, I have to say this. When it comes to the Predators last night, and I forgot to get to this thought, and I want to get to it right now. We talked about the power play chances that they had. We talked about the chances from Johansson right in front of the slot as well. One thing that I noticed last night as well, I thought when the Predators got in the offensive zone, there were a couple opportunities that they had maybe to cut towards the middle and to get to the middle of the ice where they either pulled up and they sent it back to the point last night to try to cycle it that way, or they cycled it the other way and sent the puck behind the net. And I thought there was at times, look, Carolina's defensive core is good. And by the way, we haven't talked about this all show long yet, Joe. What a difference having Jacob Slavin in the lineup makes for that group. I think we saw that firsthand last night. But I did think the Predators had a couple of opportunities last night to take that puck and drive it to the middle of the ice, and they pulled up a little too soon for my liking. I wonder if, you know, Slavin coming back had something to do with that, and they felt like they just didn't have position. But that's just an observation that I made in that game last night.
Yeah, I don't know what the number is, but I know they had 20 slot shots in game four. Now, again, it's a lot of extra time,
but still,
I mean, that's a big number. And anyone who follows the Canes will say, yeah, well, there's where you're missing Slavin. You know, he's so good at minding the house right there. So I don't know what it was last night. I mean, there's no way it was 20, and he did make a difference.
Race fans, the iconic Indy 500 is this Sunday, and the Big Machine Vodka Music City Grand Prix, along with 102.5 The Game, invites you to our official Indy 500 watch party at Scoreboard Bar and Grill. Come watch the race, win Music City Grand Prix tickets and swag, plus check out the Big Machine Vodka Indy racing car on display. There will be great drink specials from your friends at Bud Light Seltzer and live music all day. It's the Big Machine Vodka Music City Grand Prix Indy 500 Watch Party this Sunday, 11 a.m. at Scoreboard Bar and Grill. We'll be right back taking your thoughts on the Predators at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Here on Robbie and Rex Road, this is ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Pesci, his shot stopped, rebound batted, and they score on the rebound. Stahl and Svechnikov down low, and the Hurricanes take a 3-2 lead on a 4-on-4 goal in overtime.
Obviously, we had the lead going into the third. I mean, it's a really, really tight every game. The last three games have been really tight, and go either way, like you said. I mean, we battled. We worked hard. I liked our team's effort, and it just didn't go our way tonight.
That was Predators captain Roman Josi after the game last night. A 3-2 overtime loss for the Predators. They're down 3-2 in the series as they come back home for Game 6 in Bridgestone Arena. We'll have Adam Vingan from The Athletic join us at 9:30. So looking forward to that conversation with him coming up here in about, I don't know, 12 minutes or so with Adam Vingan. Joe, a play that's going to receive a lot of attention today and did immediately last night was the penalty call on Alex Carrier. The Predators have a power play. Granlund draws a hooking penalty along the wall. They're on the power play. And then all of a sudden, Aho is back-checking his way through the neutral zone. He takes kind of a glance back over his shoulder, looks up, and sees that Carrier's behind him and runs basically straight into him. Carrier is whistled for interference, and the penalties are evened up at that point. It's 4-on-4. And Jordan Stahl wins it for Carolina a few seconds after that play. What did you think of the penalty call on Alex Carrier? And how much of a beef do you think Predators fans had today on that penalty call against Carrier in overtime?
Well, they've got beef. I mean, it was, you know, I think the beef is just when you watch the replay, Aho so blatantly is trying to find him and then just goes over to him. Oh, you know, like falls over.
It's an impressive dive.
It's funny because you're watching that play in real time and it's like, oh, Carrier, what are you doing? You know, but you also know that. I mean, I think you make a case. You just don't call the Granlund being hooked being grabbed like he was. You could make the case in overtime. Just don't do it. But he also sold it well, by the way. They all sell it. They're all good at selling it and making it look worse. I like that there's an embellishment penalty. I'd like to see it applied more often. Certainly, you could have applied it to Aho in that moment. But once you have the first penalty, if these officials get any chance to equalize, they are going to jump on it.
Yeah.
And they did.
And
they
hate that. But yes,
I do too. I do too. But I also I understand. Look, this game was 1-4-on-4. And it was going to be a Carolina power play in another few seconds. And then who knows? Maybe they win it. And then we'll talk more about that call. But that's how it worked out. I mean, it was quite a job of embellishing from Aho. But you can't totally take responsibility away from Carrier either. And Carrier, these guys know all these situations. Carrier has been really good. Carrier has been so impressive game after game, shift after shift to me with his headiness, his physicality, playmaking. I mean, he's good. But, that's a moment where you got to be ready for that and do what you can to avoid the contact. I mean, if he just – pulled up a little bit or just tried to avoid it, like, then it would be – I mean, Aho probably still would have crumbled to the ground and tried, but there's no way they could justify calling it.
You wouldn't think so. I mean, look, officiating has become a pretty popular topic of conversation, not only just in this series, although it's been a pretty heavy topic of conversation in this series as well. It's become a topic around the league. And, look, I mean – I don't really want to go all the way back to the Tim Peel stuff because we talked about that a lot here on the show. But that did bring up the question of, all right, what do we feel about these, you know, these NHL officials, quote unquote, managing the game? Like how much of that should be allowed in the NHL? We had Matt Duchene on our show, you know, had some comments about, you know, hoping that's not the case on a nightly basis with the officials and the way they go about doing things. But sometimes you wonder. And the more these playoffs have gone along, and this is no great surprise to me because I've just known this is how it is for a long time, I fully believe officials are managing the game to some degree in the playoffs. And I think, you know, we had this conversation when the Tim Peel stuff happened too. There is a degree, and I saw it the other day on an article from The Athletic too, about just call the rule book. I understand that thought process, but if you start just calling the rule book, it's going to be a penalty fest. I mean, that's all it's going to be. It's going to be a special teams contest. And as we've seen early on in this series, nobody wants to watch a special teams contest when it comes to the Stanley Cup playoffs. So there's a place for it. I understand that that's going to be the way it is in the NHL. But I hate that. What I will say is I do hate that you get into the overtimes and all of a sudden it's just a different standard. Like, you've almost got to halfway murder somebody in the overtimes for something to get called. And if something is called, it feels like they are very quick the other way to try to even it up. And I don't like that. That should not be the way the game is officiated.
Yeah. Well, now, as far as your point about, I don't disagree. I mean, it's a tough spot. I try to have sympathy because there's no way it is easy at all. Things moving so fast out there. You know, you think about officiating the various sports, and you got to have eyes, you know, obviously like football, you got someone for every 3 yards of field out there. But I mean, in hockey, I mean, these guys are moving so fast. You often don't have a great angle on various, you know, things in the corners and things like that. So yeah, I try to have sympathy for it. I will say that your point about the penalty fest, you could argue – sort of like the NBA, a part of the NBA being a much more fun thing to watch now. I hope people aren't missing that. A lot are, but it's tremendous. A lot of it, mostly it's the talent and skill that's at a level it's never been close to this. But also the freedom of movement thing did change the league for the better. And it basically, it's like, okay, we're going to call these hand checks, so play differently. And it worked. I don't know that you can really necessarily apply that to hockey, but
well, they,
you know,
did. Like, I mean, it's gotten a lot.
Sure,
better.
There has been better movement. Yeah. But I guess, yeah, no, you're right, and it has gotten better. I guess, like, if you're just talking about the idea of even going a step further, would it open up the game, and would you just have fewer penalties? I don't know, but it's also like it's not realistic to think officials aren't going to think situationally and manage again. Frankly, like I understand that that's not by the book, but also I don't want a call to decide a game unless it has to, unless there's a guy blasting a wide open receiver in an NFC championship game, you know, and it goes uncalled. Like, there's where you make the call, but I don't know. It's complicated, man. We've talked a lot about officials in this series. There is no doubt. And around the league, there's been a lot of talk about the officiating. I don't know what – there's not a great, clear, this is what they must do answer.
I don't remember – you know, I've been watching hockey for a long time. I don't remember ever having as many conversations about officiating as we have this year. I mean, it feels like it's a weekly occurrence in the NHL, and it's been that way throughout the playoffs as well. Like – and, you know, Dom Lucision came out with a piece on The Athletic who I think brings up a really good point. You know, Connor McDavid is the best player in the world. He put up 103 points in the regular season. He draws penalties all the time because he's by far the fastest player on the ice. and we've gone through two consecutive postseasons with him, eight games, he's not drawn a single penalty. And, you know, he was talking to a source that said there were over 30 infractions on McDavid throughout this past series with the Jets where they got swept, and they just didn't call any of them. Like, to me, you can't convince me that Connor McDavid all of a sudden he's just not drawing penalties in the playoffs.
So, to keep the basketball comparison, he's the opposite of Michael Jordan, yeah, who got every little tiny call ever in his career.
Wow.
Okay.
There'll be shade being thrown there. I like that.
Wow. I mean, I'm sure it's not 30, you know, I'm sure it's like, you know.
That's just what the guy said. I'm sure it's not that many, but even if it's half of that, like if it's 14, 15,
yeah,
that's a pretty big number.
Yeah, that can't, I mean, come on. I mean, and it just doesn't stand to reason at all that guy isn't drawing penalties.
Yeah.
In every game.
Yeah, he's the fastest player in the world by far. So it's one of those things where it has been a constant source of discussion around the league so far in the playoffs. And to me, look, these playoffs have been great. This continues to kind of double down on my belief that the Stanley Cup playoffs are the best thing in all of sports. I know people have different opinions on that, and that's fine. But you don't want one of the dominating stories of your playoffs to be the way your games have been officiated. And so far, I feel like that's been the case for the NHL. So we'll see if that gets any better as we go through the playoffs here. When we come back, we'll be joined by Adam Vingan from The Athletic. We'll get his thoughts on the Predators from Game 5. Look ahead to their chances in Game 6 as well. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hey, Smashville, The Game Nashville, and Dos Equis is bringing the party to you. Text the word GOLDEN to 615-737-1025 to qualify for the ultimate in-home watch party. And did I mention one lucky fan is getting tickets to a playoff game at Bridgestone Arena? Get a dose, Smashville. You must be 21 or older to enter and win. Enjoy Dos Equis responsibly. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, discussing the Predators' loss in Game 5 to Carolina. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Adam Vingan from The Athletic. Adam, what's going on? How we doing?
You should have never left the beach, my friend.
I know. I will say, Predators 2-0 while I'm at the beach in the playoffs, 0-3 when I am here. So Predators fans not going to be very happy with me today. Adam, we've been talking about this all show long. As you look at this today, if you're a Predators fan, what stings the most, in your opinion, about that loss last night against Carolina? A game where the Predators, they had it. It was right there, 2-1, halfway through the third period, and they just kind of let it slip away there towards the end.
Yeah, there's a lot to choose from, and the one that comes to mind right now, just because I was looking at it right before you called, was the rebound chance that Ryan Johansson had around midway through the third period. Ellie Tolvanen shoots the puck from the right wall. It bounces right into the slot. Johansson's all alone, and he misses. If he scores there, we might be talking about a 3-2 series lead with a chance to close out. And there's a lot of coulda, woulda, shoulda that happened last night. You know, you could talk about the defense on Nate's second goal on the wraparound. You can talk about the Carrier-Aho collision that led to the 4-on-4 opportunity in overtime. So there's a lot you can pick out, but to me, just because I was looking at it now, it would be interesting to see what would have played out if Ryan would have cashed in on that great opportunity midway through the third period and given the Predators a 3-1 lead.
Yeah, that one certainly one of those moments. What did you think about just purely, again, taking the long view that, or the wide angle view that, obviously there are going to be bad calls both ways. There's going to be mistakes and all that stuff. But what did you think about the both penalties in overtime and Carrier's, I guess, culpability there? I mean, is it, if he just gets a little bit out of the way, does he avoid that?
Yeah, that's a good question. Maybe you can chalk it up to a rookie mistake in just not being aware of where Sebastian Aho was. A case can be made that Aho, similar to a basketball player selling a charge, did just enough to convince the officials on that play that he was interfered with. I could certainly make the case that that shouldn't have been a penalty. But oftentimes in those situations, you know, you do have to be aware of your surroundings. I'm not blaming Alex Carrier at all for that. There were plenty of opportunities before then to put the game away, including on that power play that he negated. Yeah, I mean, there were a lot of interesting calls last night. You know, did I think Matt Benning deserved an extra roughing penalty in that scrum during that scrum in the first period? There was a lot that happened after that whistle. You know, Benning made the mistake of being the first guy into the pile, which is why he was called for the extra roughing penalty. I was surprised that the goaltender interference call worked out in the Predators' favor. I was also amazed by the fact that that was John Hines' first challenge as Predators coach.
Yeah.
You know, it was his first challenge of the season, and then I thought to myself, I don't remember a challenge half, you know, in the second half of last season either. I went back and looked it up, and there were none. It was actually the Predators' first initiated challenge since the 18-19 season.
Wow.
So it's been a while since they did that, and you know, good on Lawrence Filoni and the Predators video crew for catching that. But the Predators had the game that they needed. They took advantage of a fortuitous bounce to score their first goal. Took advantage of a rare Brett Pesce mistake on that drop pass that led to the 2-on-1 by Jakob Trenin. The goal being overturned. You know, as you said, the Predators, it was within their grasp. But the thing about the Carolina Hurricanes is what they've done all season is when they need a big play, somebody steps up. You know, it was Martin Natchez and Jordan Staal last night, just as it was Matthew Shane, Ryan Johansson in games 3 and 4. So, yeah, I mean, it's a very interesting game, to be sure. But the Predators have not been overmatched in this series at all. I went back and looked this up this morning. The score has been within one goal for 96% of the playing time in this series.
Jeez.
Like, we all thought the Predators were going to get their butts kicked in this series, and that hasn't been the case. So I have faith that they can extend this series tomorrow, but it's going to take a lot to do that.
Adam Vingan from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam, what have you thought of the power play units the last three games that John Hines has put together, and do you think they require any adjustments heading into Game 6?
Well, I think they've done a much better job of sustaining offensive zone pressure than they did in the early games of the series, the two games in Carolina to start the series. You know, as I was watching the power play last night, you know, one thing that caught my eye, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Philip Forsberg and Elias Tolvanen are on separate units.
That is correct.
And I think that it would be wise to have them on the same unit. I think it was, I think on Forsberg's unit, he's in the right circle. Kalle Yarnkrok is in the left circle. I think it would make a lot more sense to have Ellie in the left circle. We saw how well that worked during the second half of the season. With all due respect to Kalle Yarnkrok, the Hurricanes penalty kill doesn't have to respect his shot as much as they do Ellie Tolvanen from that spot. And I think having him and Forsberg on the same unit again could open up some more opportunities. I'm not sure if putting Matthew Shane and Ryan Johansson back on the power play is the solution, because it seems to have been like the process seems to have been okay without them. But if I were to make one change, I would put Ellie Tolvanen on the same unit as Philip Forsberg to give the Predators that dual threat in each circle.
So, Adam, even with – and that is an amazing stat, you know, the one goal differential of almost the entire series. But as you know, I mean, that can be the case, and one team or the other can still be controlling the play. And I thought Carolina did that, especially, you know, trying to get that lead to series lead to 3-1 in game four for the first two periods. It has gotten – since the third period of game four and really through last night, the Preds have kind of flipped it. So is that sustainable? Is this a you know, can they carry that into tomorrow? Do you feel like they figured some things out that they can take to this game and potentially to game seven? Or was last night something, a little bit of a, you know, playoff game where the favorites feeling the pressure and they're at home and you can't count on being able to have that kind of game again?
Yeah, well, you know, I think the key for the Predators is to try to keep the game 5-on-5 as much as possible. I mean, I don't think the Predators have been overmatched at 5-on-5. I think special teams, to the Predators' credit, they've done an admirable job of preventing the Hurricanes from feasting on their power play. And outside of, what was it, game two, where the Hurricanes had better chances shorthanded than the Predators did on their power play, you know, I think the special teams battle hasn't been out of whack. Even 4-on-4, the Hurricanes have had the better of play. Jordan Staal scored two goals in this series at 4-on-4. You know, if they can keep the game 5-on-5 as much as possible, I know that a lot of fans rolled their eyes at John Hines' comments early in the series about how well they think they played 5-on-5. I mean, I think he did have a point, even if it did sound like a bit of putting lipstick on a pig at that portion of the series. Lipstick on Stormy the Pig, perhaps?
Yes.
Anyway, you know, I think the Predators have done a much better job of making the series competitive than we all anticipated. A lot of people picked the Canes to sweep this series. A lot of people picked them to win in five. You know, I picked the Hurricanes to win in six. You know, I expected the Predators to be a little bit more competitive than people were giving them credit for. And I do think there is a lot about this series that they can be confident about heading into game six. But there are going to be a lot of things they need to do better. At the end of the day, as I said, you know, the series has been so tight. You know, it would be nice to see the Predators open it up a little bit, you know, get a two-goal lead and see what could happen with that. And I just know that there are going to be 14,107 amped up and incredibly nervous fans in the building tomorrow night, and it should make for a really good game.
Should be a really good game, a really cool environment, and luckily for us, it starts at about 9 o'clock at night. That'll be fun too, Adam. Looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can't wait for it to go into quadruple overtime and for the game-winning goal to be scored at like 2 a.m.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Adam Vinion from The Athletic has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. Joins us every Wednesday here at 9:30 here on the show. Adam, great stuff, brother. Appreciate you taking time to join us.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Absolutely. We'll react a little bit to what Adam had to say. They're going to be very late tomorrow night. That is for sure. We'll react a little bit to what Adam had to say there when we come back. Get some of your thoughts as well on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. ESPN 94.9 is the official English radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Listen in Saturday as Nashville SC takes on Atlanta United. Pre-game begins at 2:15 and the match starts at 2:30. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to Adam Vinion from The Athletic for joining us in the last segment. Right now, taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, was Johansson or the Predators playing not to lose instead of being aggressive, and that's why he didn't take the shot after the rebound last night? Well, he did take the shot. He just did not hit the net.
Yeah, playing not – I mean, if you're in the offensive zone, you got a chance to score. Like, no one says, I think I'd rather just keep the score closer.
You know? Well, I will say, I mean, Yossi not taking the shot, I've got a problem with that. I mean, take the shot. Like, that's to me is more, you know, maybe that's the situation they're talking about. They just got the players mixed up on the text line. But that was, to me, the more egregious there. I know a lot of people got a problem with Johansson's, and I get it. He's your number one center. Hit the net. Like, make the goaltender at least make a save, and in a perfect world, you would like to see your number one center convert on that play. So I get that. I totally understand that, and that's all fair. Roman Yossi getting the puck in the slot's a pretty good place to be. I would have liked to have seen him shoot that puck last night. Again, I don't know if he scores. I don't know what happens on that play, but it felt like a prime scoring opportunity that the Predators just let wash away last night with Yossi not firing that puck.
Yeah, I look at that. I agree. I mean, that's one you got to put up there. I think that was trying to be too cute or trying to be a little too crafty to make a play. I mean, I don't think, you know, I think when you have a, they still had chances, you know. I mean, were they being defensively responsible and maybe a little bit back because they were up one goal after the halfway point of the third period in a playoff game? Sure. But I don't think that qualifies as playing not to lose. I mean, I think you're a little bit smarter there, but you still, when you get in the offensive zone, you get chances, you take them. I mean, I don't think it was that. I think that, you know, there was a great play made at their expense, and there are a couple things that they could have done better on that one play. But I thought they had it exactly where they wanted it until that play happened.
So if you're the Predators, you had a game that was largely going the way, exactly the way that you needed to go in Game 5. I talked about the formula that they had earlier, which was very clearly making life very difficult on Carolina coming through the neutral zone. I mean, Pierre McGuire talked about that extensively last night on the CNBC broadcast. The Predators were doing a great job defensively in that game of making life difficult for the Hurricanes. Is that the formula they follow in Game 6? And if so, Joe, what's your confidence level in the Predators coming back home tomorrow for Game 6 that they can extend this series and get this thing back to Raleigh for a Game 7 where anything can happen?
Well, I think they'll respond. They've responded all year. They've been in a position now for a long period of time of really having to consistently bring it, and they did a lot of winning in the second half, but they had some bad moments too. You think about that Chicago, three straight goals, and you bounce back from that, bounce back from Columbus. They've bounced back in this series. I think they'll do it again. I think it's still going to be difficult to win. And some of it is just as simple as, like, Johansson, you finish that play, you win the game last night.
Yeah.
Duchesne makes a ridiculous play in Game 3. You win that game. If he doesn't, who knows? I mean, you gotta make those plays. I will say one thing to take, and I threw this in my story at the Athletic today, but Shane from Ashland City texted this in too. I thought this was a remarkable stat. You know, the Preds had 4 giveaways last night.
Yeah.
I mean, they had they had 1 through 2 periods, and they had 4 in an overtime game. You know, granted, short overtime, but like that's against that team. You know, normally you're in the teens for sure.
Sure.
You know, so like I thought they were so poised in the defensive zone in moments that earlier in the series and really all season they have not always been, and they've had these killer giveaways that have cost them. And I thought last night, for whatever reason, they had the patience and the poise to keep making the right play. So that thing, that you take to tomorrow, because that's what Carolina forces you to do that, and they make it very hard for you to do that. That to me is an astounding stat. It's also another reason you look at that and say, gosh, see, that's a game you win because you were so poised and solid and sound with the puck all night.
Joe, what would you do tomorrow from a lineup perspective? And Poor said this earlier, I did not think it was as strong of a game from Johansson, Duchesne, and Forsberg together. Do you give any consideration to breaking that lineup heading back in for Game 6, or are you just riding with those three on the top line at this point and letting the chips fall where they may in this series?
I think I would stick with those guys. As has been pointed out by you and by others, you know, last change is certainly making a difference in this series. But I feel like, you know, it wasn't, they did not build on 3 and 4, but I still think that they've done enough in those three games to keep them together and to want to see them bring it back to the Nashville performance that you had in, together in game six. I would keep that together.
I would keep it together too. I think you've got to at this point. And look, I don't know what the status of Arvidsson is going to be at this point. I'm not sure he even gets back in the lineup in this series. So I think you're keeping them together and just rolling with it at that point and just letting the chips fall where they may.
But I agree with Vingan. You know, I want to see Forsberg and Tolvanen together.
Yeah.
That's the best combo on that unit that they've had in years. I would rather see that together. I don't know. Like last night, I mean, obviously the Herd line has two goals. I mean, I feel like I'd probably stick with Janot.
Yeah.
He made that switch last night. I don't know. Ben Harper, you know, is that going to change? I don't know.
Probably not. Probably going to be the same. But
there's going to be something. There's going to be something that I bet you he does something that we're not anticipating.
Probably though. So. We'll see what happens coming up in game six. We'll have coverage all day long tomorrow for game six here on Robbie and Rex Road. Looking ahead to a massive game for the Predators. That does it for us today. Darren Donick and Chase is coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.